listening to Conscious Living Radio on Co-op Radio Station 100.5 FM. My name is Andrew Resmer.
And I'm Tasha Sims.
Stephen Gray.
And Stephen's joining us tonight, or going to help interview. And we've got a special guest, Chris Killam. Spirit Plant Medicine Conference is coming to Vancouver November 4th and 5th. And Chris is not only going to be a speaker at the upcoming conference, but also the MC at the Psychedelic Comedy Dinner, which just sounds like such a hoot. And that's going to be Saturday, November 4th. So Chris is a medicine hunter. He's an author, an educator, and TV personality who promotes natural plant-based medicines and sustainable global trade that supports indigenous cultures. He's conducted medicinal plant research in more than 45 countries. He lectures worldwide about holistic wellness and botanical medicines and works with companies to develop and popularize traditional plant-based food and medicinal products. The New York Times calls Chris part David Attenborough, part Indiana Jones. He's an author of 14 books, including the Ayahuasca Test Pilot's Handbook, Psyche Delicacies, and the Five Tibetans. And his work with psychoactive and psychedelic plants combines his decades of experience as a yoga teacher and his deep involvement in South American shamanism, both in study and sacred ceremonies. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Actually, Chris is not yet online, but we're going to start with Stephen and get a little bit more information about the whole history of Spirit Plant Medicine Conference. When did it start? Why and how? I'm in partly involved in it, but you are the main person who creates the theme and topics and chooses the people who are going to be speaking at the conference.
Okay, well, it was the brainchild of the fellow who just asked that question, Andrew Resmer, some years ago. I believe, since you asked me, Andrew, I could answer on your behalf to say that you were very inspired and moved by one or more experiences with one or more of these sacramental medicines yourself, and had the vision that it would be very valuable to share information about that those substances with other people. I came on board in the first year, so we're in our seventh year now, so I came on board in the first year in a sort of consultant role, occasionally riding my bicycle around the park and phoning in, and also I spoke at that one, and then I took over as one of the main organizers the second year. So, as I just said, the mission of the conference is to bring the most accurate, responsible information we possibly can to people, because we understand from our own experience and, of course, from study that these medicines have immense potential when they're used effectively, skillfully, carefully, and so on. And so we bring in people from all over the place, a lot of Americans, people from local people, regional people, people from some other countries as well, who we think are going to be excellent communicators and who have a lot of knowledge and insight on these medicines.
Mm-hmm. And it's been 7 years of creating this this conference, and each year we have 90% of the speakers are new speakers, people who you find or you read books or met during your explorations of those topics. Can you tell us a little bit more of the progression of the different styles or different themes that the conference has evolved throughout those years?
Sure, good question, actually. My sense of it is that your original vision was the spiritual potential, whatever spiritual exactly means, of these medicines. And as I see it, the way we've sort of gradually morphed, I suppose you could say, over the years is that, first of all, I think we both started in the place where we had a strong preference for the pure plant medicines, rather than the what are actually, I don't know if everyone knows, but substances like MDMA, LSD, and some of the other substances are actually semi-synthetic. They're not purely synthetic substances. So I think we've become a little broader minded about inclusiveness. I think it was about 3 years ago, Andrew Feldmar said, it doesn't really matter which of these medicines you use, whether it's pure plant-based or semi-synthetic, it's how you use it, who's using it, the circumstances, set and setting, all that sort of thing. So I think we broadened in that regard, and I think our definition of spiritual has broadened as well. For example, there is a lot of work being done now with the psychedelics or entheogens in therapeutic environments, group and individual therapy with psilocybin mushrooms, LSD, MDMA, Iboga, all these, Ibogaine, you know, addiction treatment. There's a lot of really, really interesting innovation and work being done in what you might define more as the sort of, you know, psychological healing therapeutic environment rather than the more, whatever you want to call it, narrow definition of spiritual work. So that's how I see it shifting. Two other aspects is personally, I've always wanted to have more what you might call native people involved because they have been the keepers of these medicines in many cases for millennia sometimes. A lot of them have been reticent to come out and speak to the non-native world about these issues, and also a lot of them just don't do that, I guess you could say. So this year we have at least three, possibly four people who are going to speak from the indigenous perspective, and we can get into those in a moment if you'd like. Mm-hmm. That's one thing, and also it's always been harder to find women who are, you know, willing to come forth and who have a name that you can find, you know, on the internet or through other people. Men have tended to dominate the conversation, mansplaining everybody.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, well, that's a really interesting question, because 2 years ago, we almost had Annie Oak come. She ended up getting violently sick just beforehand and couldn't come. But she and I had a really interesting conversation where she pointed out that there's, and you know, you would know, I assume, Tasha, more from a women's perspective or a woman's perspective about this than I would understand it in the bone, so to speak. What Annie said is that there's a kind of a holdover instinctive fear of repression for women speaking about these substances, and she and a lot of other people have been hesitant to come forth in the public arena because of that. And it, you know, it goes way back, you know, it goes back to the you know, the persecution of the quote-unquote witches in the Middle Ages and so on, right? The women's voices have been suppressed in many places for a long, long time. And I guess what Annie is saying is that it's difficult to get, you know, completely kind of go beyond that. It's happening, of course, but it has been a concern. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, you know, men just tend to do that, right? You know, and there've been more men in academic positions, for example, more men in leadership roles in general, you know, in the material world, so to speak.
And you don't think it's the draw to the experience or anything like that? You think it's actually the coming out and being visible
I think it's been an issue for women more than men. One of our presenters this year is Nishay Devano, and her title of her talk is Coming Out of the Psychedelic Closet, which isn't meant just for women by any stretch, but it's a really interesting and important idea because understandably a lot of people who have jobs in the quote-unquote straight world have concerns about being associated with these still illegal substances in many cases. So, but there's this kind of, I don't know if you'd call it a meme, that if you can take the risk that it feels like to some people to step out of the psychedelic closet, that there's a lot of support for that. And perhaps most importantly, that it's really important that more people do that so that we shift the center point of the conversation and increasingly legitimize mm-hmm. these substances. Mm-hmm. You know, when we find out that Carl Sagan, one of the most important scientists of the last several decades, was deeply inspired continuously almost, well, I don't mean he smoked it every day, Carl Sagan was a major cannabis user, and it inspired many of his great ideas. Steve Jobs credited LSD for some of his early inspiration, and the list goes on, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a really important issue.
I think the component of that is also that in the traditional ways of using those medicines, shamans tend to be usually men, and
exactly,
and have been for thousands of years. And I think partly, and correct me, Stephen, if you think differently, to become a shaman in the traditional sense of that word is attention to this specific detail, the specific medicine, for sometimes years. I remember having on our show a few years ago a shaman who specializes in San Pedro, and he says for 9 years he would have to go almost a few times a week, sometimes for hours, and was not even allowed to speak because his teachers felt that he's not ready yet. Mm-hmm. So it's much easier for men to do that than women, who obviously have traditionally in those areas have more responsibility, childbearing and so on. So I think because of that thousands of years of history, we are now changing that. I see lots of medicine women and women who are doing that work, but it's slow mm-hmm. in comparison.
Do you think there's a bias against teaching women?
Does
it teaching women
from shamans?
Yeah,
teaching shamans.
I wouldn't know. I really mm-hmm. wouldn't. I imagine it varies from individual to individual.
Just wondering about Peru. Indigenous culture and the view of how women are perceived, and is it something that's just the roots of it? Is it passed on? You know, are your students male, and what that significance then would be about women. Yeah. Stepping into this?
I think it's changing really rapidly. The ayahuasca world is a sort of a typical example of that, because ayahuasca is the most rapidly spreading, most commonly used of these psychedelic medicines now. Mm-hmm. And as Andrew pointed out, there are just so many women coming into this field now. It's really opening up. So that's exciting. And I think it's actually essential. In fact, it may be even more than essential. It might be, I don't know how to put it, almost as if it was prophesied. In fact, perhaps it was, because have you heard of the 13 indigenous grandmothers? Hmm. Well, I don't know if they're still around, but they came out with a declaration. They were, 13 indigenous elder women who say that they heard of each other through the spirit world, around the world. Some are from... A lot of them are from the Americas, but some are from Europe and some are from Asia. They even had a summit with the Dalai Lama at one point. This was in the early 2000s. And a number of them said that they received, downloaded in a sense from spirit, through their medicine work and so on, that this is the time for the women to come forth and speak, because they carry the earth energy somehow, right? And the heart energy. They recognize that we're in a very difficult time, and could be...
As humanity.
It could be for the time being, some version of the end of civilization as we know it, if we don't have a major consciousness transformation in the relatively near future. And the women are coming forth, because they have that rock-solid connection, and they feel this as an energy, as a prophecy, as a spirit download. Yeah. So the long and short of it, vis-a-vis the conference, is that we have, I think, pretty much 50-50 this year in terms of men and women speaking.
Do you want to go over some of the people who are coming and a little bit about them?
Sure. Well, you've already taken care of Chris Killam, pretty much.
Yep.
I'll just add that he spoke last year. And and by the way, don't let me forget to talk a little bit about more about the comedy dinner and the two three pre-conference events.
We can't wait to talk about it, so we will not forget.
But also the three pre-conference events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with that then. Let's start with pre-conference, because it's coming much sooner than conference.
Right. So the first one is on October 15th, which is a Sunday, and it's from 3 to 5 p.m., and that's a one-man performance by who I consider to be the brilliant T.J. Daw, known to many as the King of the Fringe for his fabulous one-man shows that he's been doing across North America for years, and his extremely successful show from several years ago called Medicine, in which he ends up doing a week-long ayahuasca healing ceremony with Gabor Mate and an ayahuasca shaman. He's wonderful. He's brilliant. His monologues have this wonderful blend of seriousness, poignancy, and humor. So that's at St. James Community Square on Sunday, October 15th at 3 p.m. The tickets are ridiculously cheap for that, especially for somebody like TJ, who could easily command a much higher price for his shows. They're $10 online at spiritplantmedicine.com or $15 at the door. So that's in Vancouver again, St. James Community Square. The information's all on the website. On October 21st is the North American premiere of a film called Ayahuasca Reframed by Ben DeLonen. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. He's done a couple of other films that have been very popular. I've watched this film. It's really good. And the film lasts about an hour, and then there'll be a panel discussion, audience discussion, etc., with Andrea Langlois, who put this together more or less with us, from iSEERS. I forget what ICR stands for. It has something to do with experimentation and research into the psychedelic substances. It's an international organization. And Mark Hayden, we're very fortunate to have on that panel. Mark is not only extremely articulate, but he's a passionate, committed spokesperson and advocate for the legalization and so on of these substances. He's also the chair of MAPS Canada. That's the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. And a third person on that panel is Sohail Samimi, who is a local director of an ayahuasca organization, a church, and he's very involved in this work. He's also one of these great innovators in the medical marijuana field, starting businesses and so on. So that's on Sunday, October 21st, and that's at the same location for the same ridiculously low price. And then there's another one on the day before the conference starts. It will be, I think it's called a medicine walk. It's the title is Rediscovering Our Local Plants, and it's with Master Herbalist, or Métis Herbalist, Master Herbalist, I guess, as well, Lori Snyder. People, again, can sign up for that one online. It'll be limited to a certain number, and she will take people around for a couple of hours to identify local plants, which is a really valuable and important thing, and perhaps might segue into one of the presenters at the conference. She's not actually on the main stage, so to speak. This is Sonia Millimackie, who has learned a great deal about dieting with local plants. And when I say dieting, I'm referring to the ayahuasca world, where the people who really know ayahuasca consider it really important to do, as in Spanish they call it, dietas, diets, where you simplify your regular diet down to almost nothing, no spices, no salt, no sugar, no alcohol, no coffee, nothing like that. And in the tradition, Andrew was talking about these long apprenticeship periods. In the tradition, the person might go into the woods or the jungle for a few weeks and with one plant. They call them master plants, and have a very simple diet of like rice and plantain or maybe a little fish or something, and make perhaps a tea out of this plant, drink it a lot, And typically what happens, I've spoken to people who've done these diets, like really seriously, year-long programs, and they say that they have lucid dreams that are so clear, they remember every detail of them, and the spirit of that plant comes in and teaches you about your past, the things that are still standing in your way, teaches you where you're going and how to go there, and it even teaches you how to more effectively work with ayahuasca. So very powerful work, and many people would say essential, especially if you're thinking of becoming an ayahuasca shaman, or what you call ayahuasquero or ayahuasquera, perhaps. So Sonia is going to do a lunch hour mini workshop on dieting with local plants. I believe it's Elliot Cowan, who's a writer on these matters. I think he has a book called Sacred Plant Medicine or something to that. I think that's it, or close to that, who says that local plants are always more powerful for medicine than plants from afar. This is coming from a man who has been a plant medicine person for like 40 years and claims to have a direct relationship with a number of plants where they actually become, you know, kind of healers in themselves for people. So that's an interesting theme. I mentioned earlier that we have a number of indigenous people or Native Americans primarily. One of them I'm very excited about is Mary Porter. Mary is a member of several tribes, including the Nez Perce, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, and a few others. She's also the director and co-founder of a peyote medicine using a church called the Looking Glass Peyote Church down in Oregon. I heard about her through Martin Ball's conference down in Oregon. Martin said she was one of the most popular speakers there, so I spoke with Mary, and I'm very excited about Mary because, kind of slightly changing angles for a second here. It may seem like a tangent, but it's not. Several years ago, I was writing a little mission statement for the conference, and I called up a Native American elder woman that I know, and I said, if you were writing a mission statement like that, what would you say? She said, I would say that it's actually not about the plants themselves. It's the real thing going on is the urgent need for humanity to reconnect to who we are, to all our relations, to the planet, to the spirit, etc. And so the plants are a way to do that.
A conduit.
Yeah, and Mary Porter has that understanding. She has the, what I like to call, the earth people vision, and she's very articulate about it and passionate about it as well. So I think that'll be really good. And then there's another one that's sort of kind of a left field choice for us. Well, I'll take the blame for it, because I don't know how closely related Mark Blumenthal is to the spirit plant medicines. He, you know, on one level, he's his experience is just kind of like a regular person from his age group who was tuned into that kind of thing. He did the LSD and so on when he was younger. He loves cannabis and perhaps does the occasional medicine ceremony now, but his main thing is that he is the head, I'm not sure the word, founder and executive director, actually, of the American Botanical Council, which is a really important and significant, well, high-end kind of organization. They deal with people in positions of power in universities and politics and so on. And their mission, as I understand it, is to hold the corporate or entrepreneurial community's feet to the fire about the accuracy of the claims for herbal medicines, because they've tested them, a lot of them, and they say so many of them are not what they claim to be, or they don't have the ingredients that they say are in them, and so on. So that's not he's not necessarily going to talk about that stuff, and it's not directly related to our theme, except that with impending legal cannabis, product testing and truth in advertising are going to be really important. Yeah. So anyway, and the other reason that I wanted to get Mark is because Chris Killam, who I trust because he's such a fantastic speaker, said that Mark also is. So I think he'll be very entertaining as well. Dr. Natalie, I can't say too much about. She's one of these people that I mentioned earlier. We're more moving toward opening the discussion up to psychedelic therapy as well. She's a naturopathic doctor who, I believe, works with psychedelic substances in her therapy work. Neshe Devano, I already mentioned, coming out of the psychedelic closet. Another Native person is Don Davis, who's a member of the Native American Church down somewhere in the north Midwest of the states. I forget what state she's in, perhaps Oklahoma. She's doing her doctoral work, I believe, on peyote sustainability, which is a really, really important issue because it's at risk. The supply of peyote, the habitat of peyote is at risk. And I think it's just really important for people to understand a little bit more about that medicine in general. Christina Orbe, again, I can't say too much about her. She's kind of like, she's one of the younger generation that we're always trying to encourage to come along and speak up in these situations. And mostly what I know about her is she's just active in so many ways. She's an educator, she's a teacher, she's got healing abilities, she's just really a visionary in a lot of ways, and I'm told she's a great speaker, so I hope that's true. John Sheldon is another left field kind of choice for us, and another one recommended by Chris Killam and his wife Zoe Helene, who know him. He is a master guitarist, and that's not an exaggeration in his case. He used to be the guitar player or a guitar player in the touring band of James Taylor, who a lot of younger people have no idea who he is anymore, but he was truly one of the top, I don't know, 5 or 10 music artists of the late 60s, early 70s, and Van Morrison. He also played in Van Morrison's touring band back in the day. And if you don't know Van Morrison, he's another legend that every person interested in music should know about. and one of the, top people of his day. And so what John does is he tells stories about. He's worked with ayahuasca a lot. He tells stories about his ayahuasca experiences and so on while playing this remarkable, virtuostic guitar stuff. Goes in and out of it like that. So that'll be cool. Joe Tafur, Dr. Joe Tafur, has a book out called The Fellowship of the River. He's one of the co-founders of one of the important ayahuasca centers in near Iquitos in northern Peru called Niue Rau. He and Svita Mamik, who spoke last year at the conference, and the shaman of the place, Ricardo Amaringo, co-owned that place, and Joe studied under Ricardo for a number of years, and I believe he's sold his interest in it now, and he's another person who's doing psychedelic therapy, so he'll speak somewhat about that kind of work as well. Kateri Walker is another one of our Native American presenters this year. She's, I believe, primarily Chippewa, lives in Los Angeles. She's an actress, among other things, has a strong connection to her Native tradition. Along with giving a talk, she's also going to do something which comes from, I believe, her family lineage, called a jingle dress dance. It's only about a 10-minute thing, but apparently people who have seen it say it's very powerful. So I'm looking forward to her. And then we have our friend Tom Hatzis, who's also doing one of the lunch hour mini workshops, we call them.
And I think we're interviewing him next week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I won't say too much about Tom, but he spoke last year, and he's just such an engaging speaker. He's like at this point, I would say, underrated, brilliant scholar. My view is, if you want to know whether somebody's research is good, ask Tom, because he's looked into the history of these plants. And he's got a book coming out next year, I think, on the history of psychedelics. And his last book is The Witch's Ointment, where he went into the primary sources from the 1400s to see what people were actually doing and saying about the quote-unquote witches. And because his attitude is so rigorous, he taught himself Latin. So he can read Latin you know, fluently, essentially.
So you could directly assess what was being said.
Right? So, for example, at Martin Ball's Exploring Psychedelics conference in Ashland, Oregon this year, he had an onstage debate with Jerry Brown, who's written a book, I forget the title of it, but it's Jerry's claim is that psilocybin mushrooms were foundational and very important to the development of religion, and particularly Christian religion in the early days. So Tom apparently ripped his thesis to shreds, because Tom knows what was said back then, you know? And in fact, Tom held up Jerry's book. If Jerry Brown happens to listen to this, you know, no disrespect, man. He's a wonderful guy and has worked hard, and he's sincere. But, you know, Tom went through the photographs in the book and said, you know, Jerry says that's a mushroom, but it's actually not, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not sure what Tom's going to do exactly. He's going to talk about some of the history of psychedelics. And Tom's big on language, too. He likes the right words, so he, you know, to name these things. So he's actually invented some new words, I think. So he's great. I think that's just about it, other than the peripheral things. We have live music at several points during the conference as a way to kind of reconnect into the... It's, when I say live music, it's not really meant to be a concert. It's more like creating a calm, sort of heartfelt space with Theta Phoenix, who has done that with us several times. She's really good at that. So when people come back in from the lunchtime, for example, they can either stay out in the lobby and chat for another 15 minutes, or if they want to chill out, they can come into the main hall, and we're treating that kind of like a temple, you know, in a lighthearted way. And Theta will be playing this very spacious kind of music. She has the crystal bowls, and she does sort of chant-like things and that sort of stuff. So
you're really creating a container there for the whole weekend.
It's almost like a ceremony. Conference is like a ceremony. But,
and all of it, right? From first thing in the morning. Exactly. So you're getting information, you're getting heartfelt wisdom, you're getting music. There's going to be good food, I imagine, too. Bit about...
Eternal abundance again.
There we go. Available. So healthy, great food and teas and stuff. And so for people, both people who are involved and I think people who are curious but don't know a lot, it's accessible. It's inviting.
Absolutely, we've had people there who have no experience with any of these substances and are just curious, you know, or sometimes people drag along their friends, just and the friends come out of loyalty, you know.
Everybody who comes is changed.
I would hope so. A big part of it actually is the community aspect of it. I've generally been the MC, and I'm going to hog that role again this year. And one of the first things I say on Saturday morning is, like, I don't care how shy you are normally, please push yourself this weekend to go and introduce yourself to people and say, hello, my name is so-and-so, what brings you here, you know? And I think a lot of connections are made that way. I've talked to a handful of people, which implies that at least 10 times that many have probably had the same experience, who have said their life changed at the conference, you know, because of the information that they heard and the people that they met. Yeah, the community part of it's very important.
There's lots to digest, all those names, all those topics, all those directions. So what I suggest we'll do right now is to play a little bit music for listeners who are trying to wrap their head around this information. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about those amazing evening parts of the, including psychedelic comedy night. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio on Co-op Radio Station 100.5 FM. Topic today is Spirit Plant Medicine Conference that is happening on November 4th and 5th. We're talking to Stephen Gray and waiting for the call also from Chris. Hopefully he's going to make it this time. And for more information about the conference, tickets and everything else, you can find it on spiritplantmedicine.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Ah,
You're listening to Conscious Living Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio. I'm Tasha Sims.
I'm Andrew Resmer.
And joining us this evening, special guest Stephen Gray, who is a teacher, a writer on not only spiritual subjects, but also sacramental medicines. He's worked extensively with Tibetan Buddhism, the Native American Church, and with several other entheogenic medicines. He's the author of Returning to Sacred World, a spiritual toolkit for the emerging reality. He's also a contributor for Cannabis and Spirituality, an explorer's guide to an ancient plant spirit ally, and a conference and workshop organizer, which is what he's doing with the Spirit Plant Conference coming up in Vancouver, November 4th and 5th. And we've been just talking about all the various fabulous people who are going to be there. And is our phone ringing? It looks like possibly Chris Killam, who we were hoping would join us at the top of the hour, may be here now too. Welcome back, Stephen.
Thank you. Let's see if Chris is here. Okay. In the meantime, I would just like to mention Oh, by the way, I was also the editor of the Cannabis and Spirituality book. Just like to mention three other people who've just come on board for the conference very recently. We're doing something a little different this time called mini lectures. So one of them is Terry Sidhu, who is going to talk about the very important issue of integration, post-ceremony kind of integration. Which, if we had more time, is a topic that we could spin out for quite a while. Another one is Trevor Miller, who's going to talk. These are 10-minute lectures. He's going to talk about the past and future of Iboga and Ibogaine. And the third one is Sohail Samimi, who's part of that pre-conference panel, but also is an expert on cannabis and spirituality, and he's going to talk a bit about that. Is Chris here?
Chris is online, and so just before we connect with Chris, can you tell a little bit more about the upcoming? We promised our listeners that we're
going to talk about
psychedelic comedy. Yeah, and Chris is going to be MC, so it's a perfect segue.
Well, I'm really excited about that. I'll make it as brief as possible. They did something similar at MAPS Giant Conference in April in Oakland, which I thought was great. And so we've got two of the sort of leading comics or comedians from that, Shane Moss, and although he's not 100% confirmed, Adam Strauss. Shane Moss is super funny. He's been doing the 100 city tour around the United States on psychedelic comedy. Adam Strauss has had his show, his one-man show, The Mushroom Cure, held over twice in San Francisco. And then Chris Killam, who's not only a brilliant speaker but can be very funny, is going to be a kind of a casual version of the MC, and he's going to make us laugh for a while, too. Are you there, Chris?
I am indeed here, Stephen, and I can't apologize enough for being so late. I have no good excuse.
Oh, well, okay. Well, you'll have to talk fast then, because we only have about 7 or 8 minutes. So Tasha probably has a couple of questions for you.
Oh, I have hours worth, Chris, but we're going to have to drop this. I don't know. The best place to enter, I mean, what I want to know about you is what inspired you to work with plant medicine to begin with?
Well, it's kind of hard to describe what happened to so many of us in the 60s, but it was though something fell upon us, really. It just somehow made great sense to listen to rock and roll music and take LSD and start investigating herbs and practice yoga and, learn how to cook brown rice. I mean, it sounds simplistic now, but it was all a big deal then. And among my friends and I was the one who became more interested than the others in herbs and started roaming around Chinatown in Boston. I mean, having absolutely no clue what I was doing, by the way. I wasn't some sort of well-informed character, and going on herb walks and getting whatever materials I could. And that just really inspired me to know more about this whole category. And you know, over time, I came to recognize and understand that these are the most widely employed medicines on earth, for any of a variety of needs, and that, you know, nature really does provide. So I've gone from being inquisitive to a total advocate.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the greatest value of working with spirit plants?
Well, working with spirit plants is great entree into whole other dimensions. I mean, we basically, so we can get around and function, we're limited in terms of what we're experiencing on an ongoing daily basis. And when we can work with plants, work with plant spirits and go further in, we broaden the world in which we live and the dimensions in which we play.
The title of one of your two talks at this year's conference is Let My People Trip. Can you give us a little teaser about what that means?
Tripping is just fundamentally good for you, I'm not suggesting it's good for everybody, and I'm not suggesting that everybody should belt down walloping, gigantic, ego-smashing doses of psychedelics on a regular basis, but tripping is fundamentally good for us. It gives us a sense of wholeness and harmonization, when set and setting are respected, and that whole understanding is something that you don't need to convince, you know, many indigenous cultures of. They've long known this, you know, whether they're eating peyote or snorting varola or whatever they're doing. They're like, yeah, sure, my grandmother did this, got it, I get that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we live in a time when there's been so much misinformation and disinformation about the whole category that we have to reintroduce sound, harmonious, beautiful, elevated ideas, you know, almost with apologies. And I'm sort of like over that.
You're over what? Apologizing?
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
I
absolutely.
Hope so.
You know, we have endured decades of suppression of this after, you know, a kind of a liberating flashpoint in mm-hmm. the 60s and 70s. And really now, with what we know about the healing benefits as elucidated by studies, in addition to just endless people's testimonies, this is righteous medicine. This is, in terms of holistic, in terms of leaving nothing out, these are the greatest holistic medicines on earth. You know, and they're medicines whether you're lying on a mat having, you know, resolving some sort of grief, or whether you're playing naked frisbee. Any way you slice that sense of harmonization is working on you at a deep and profound level.
So, okay, I don't know if this is a great segue after naked frisbee, but tell us a bit about ethical considerations and any boundaries that might need to be in place for people who are journeying, doing a plant journey. Do you have ideas there?
Well, certainly. I mean, obviously, you never dose anybody. You make sure that if somebody's going to participate in something, they understand to the best, you know, possible extent and the circumstance what they're getting themselves into. If you're with people who are journeying, then, you know, treating them kindly and with care and respecting that, you know, all of their sense acuity is greatly and enormously heightened is nothing but a smart idea. Anybody who manipulates somebody on, you know, psychedelics needs to be just kind of like completely removed from the scene. Ditto on sexual predation. I mean, all of that. People are unusually sensitive when they're tripping. And so the ethics are all of the ethics you would want, you know, kind of on the ideal college campus, you know, magnified by 10.
Mm-hmm. And this is Andrew. Do you see any difference between spirit plants that have been used for thousands of years? And there is usually some kind of set of settings that is inherited by the virtue of the fact that it's been used for many years, in comparison to more newer compounds that are being used right now, especially by a younger population?
Well, the truth of the matter is that I don't have personal direct consumption experience with the new chemicals and have no interest for that matter. I mean, I'm satisfied with what is possible with ayahuasca and with San Pedro and with peyote and with the mushrooms, and it doesn't really seem necessary to me to, you know, continue to concoct neurologically active chemicals. So, and I do think that the tradition, the DNA of the plants, the set and setting, the entire energetic of all that, it's not a peripheral or tangential thing. It's a massive thing. You know, when you drink ayahuasca in the Amazon rainforest with shamans who are multi-generational, it's just plain a whole heck of a lot better than drinking it in Brooklyn and then going home on the subway. So, really, I am not a fan of the chemicals, but am quick to say I haven't consumed them.
Mm-hmm. We have one minute left, Stephen.
Well, you can't answer this question in 1 minute, but you know a lot about ayahuasca. You have a book called The Ayahuasca Test Pilot's Handbook. Do you have a very quick comment on how you see where we are now with the development of work with ayahuasca?
Well, I think that we're at a kind of a mature point in a way, Stephen. I mean, we have hundreds of thousands, millions of people who've drunk ayahuasca, many of whom have done so in, you know, rural and Amazonian settings. The healing effects are legion, according to the accounts. You know, there are comparatively very few bad incidents compared to the whole scene of people engaging in the use of this medicine. I think we're in a relatively good place. I think we will face negative media, because something this intense always faces negative media. But there's also so many, there are so many good people behind it doing good work, that I think we're advancing this medicine forward very well, or it's advancing us forward very well.
Thank you so much, Chris. We gotta cut it there. We're at time. But thanks for joining us. And again, Chris Killam will be at the conference November 4th and 5th, and also hosting Psychedelic Comedy Night November 4th in the evening with dinner. And you're pretty funny. I think you're going to be a great MC.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks for joining
and again,
us.
My sincere apologies for blowing it and not showing up on time.
That's okay. I'm
Bye,
Tasha
guys.
Sims. You've been listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM with Stephen Gray and Andrew Resmer, and we'll catch you next week.
And more information about upcoming conference, spiritplantmedicine.com or consciouslivingradio.org.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciouslivingradio.org. Bye.